Welcome to KGXT, Gen X Talks podcast, live from Central California. Making plans with the boys. I'm going to hit the town. Yeah, I'm going to make some noise. I'll push past the pain and my wounded pride. I'm going to live it up. Yeah, stay out all night. But sure, I've had some better times. And I can't.
That timer up there in the corner.
Yes.
When that timer stops, then we got issues, man. We got problems, lots of problems. All right. So the butt is working. We're live on KGXT Radio. Da-doom, da-doom, da-doom. And Streamlabs is up and running. And the light is green. The trap is clean. The microphones are going there and there. And oh my God, everything's rolling. So you know what that means? It's time to start the live stream. All right, so I'll tell you what, we're all going to stop, and as soon as she's done on her phone, we'll begin.
Well, I'm just letting people know we're live, because nobody announces shit around here.
Well, who are you telling? You only know three people. Are you letting all three people know? All right.
Maybe it's all my boyfriends. You don't know.
Why would
okay,
you...
let's start the show.
Wait, what?
Let's go.
Hold on a second. I'm taking issue with...
Oh, no. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
Keep going.
Boy, you if I don't step on my dick, you seem to
you
do it for me.
After all these years, you know a woman.
Especially nope. You. All right. So, yeah, it's welcome to the Gen X Talks podcast, broadcasting from the KGXT studios, 200 feet below occupied California in a secure bunker. People would wonder how we got a tough shed 200 feet below. We are in two Sears garden sheds. You guys remember Sears garden sheds? Well, we just dug a big hole and we built two of them and covered them up with dirt, and that's where we are. It's kind of like
right
a
next
fort.
To a Southern SoCal gas line.
That's... That's right. On the Google map, it's the Southern California Gas Line and KGXT Studios. Both are buried in the ground. You know that's a true story?
Regarding what?
The gas line.
Yeah, I know it is. That's why I said made the comment.
Yeah.
The main line is the one, I think, that blew up near San Francisco or something up there.
There's a main line they put in, I think, 80 or 90 years ago. It's a gas line that goes from San Francisco to Los Angeles. And this is back when nobody was out here where we are.
Right.
And they buried it. I guess it's 40 feet in the ground, but it's a huge pipe. It's, you know, probably 4 feet in diameter, 5 feet in diameter,
yeah.
What they told me. Anyway, the guy says, look on Google Maps, your street is angled because no houses can be built directly on top of it.
Right.
You can put a street on it. You can put a farm on it, but you have to have access to it. So sure enough, I went to Google Maps and I zoomed out. And in a straight line through this side of town, everywhere there's a neighborhood, the streets line up perfectly with this gas line going at an angle, a 45-degree angle.
Yep. Yeah. And they've been out testing it, remember? They come down our way.
You were right. One of the fires that happened 3 or 4 years ago up north, and I forget where, but it was up north, that was caused in part by that gas line erupting or leaking. So now... PG&E has been paranoid about that.
PG&E is what, or SoCal?
I think it's PG&E, Pacific Power and Gas. I think it's there. I think it's PG&E.
Okay.
And I think because I know when they came out testing for stuff, they test the base of streetlights. They have their sniffers out there because they say that's where the gas comes up through the ground and it'll find its way.
Oh, it'll leak through
there?
Yeah,
it leaks through those. So they check there. And I said, how many gas leaks are there like this all over town? They go, I don't know, 130? And I said, well, would they ever blow up? He goes, it's so small, you could take a lighter and try to, you would never light it. It would never catch on fire. He goes, our instruments are so sensitive, we can detect natural gas before it would even be combustible. I was like, oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, but they messed up north.
They messed up. Now they're paranoid. Now they have all these pressure sensors. They have teams of guys checking it every day up and down the line. So, yeah.
All right.
True story. I caught those guys out in the cul-de-sac one day.
Right.
I said, hey, quit fucking spray painting on my grass. He's like, well, we have to know where it goes. I said, quit fucking spray painting on my grass, dill hole, but that's the conversation right. that we learned that.
So, I was just joking around, but I wasn't joking around.
No, you were right. So, but you know, it's the chance of something happening here, one in a bazillion, especially now that they're all over it. Now they don't let stuff happen. They'd cargo that shit around the corner if they had to. All right. So, we had stuff. It's another day. It's a broadcasting day. It's April 25th. There is so much going on in the world of Gen X Talks in our lives. I'm not even quite sure where to begin.
I don't know either.
I want to talk, well, for real quick, MarcyZavala.com, $5, MarcyZavala.com. I had a couple, we talked about it on the live stream the other night. I had a couple people email me about how to get in touch with her other than just signing up for the program. And this might be important is because when I tell everybody, go to MarcyZavala.com and become pain-free, Once you get to her website, it's kind of like the big button says join.
No, there is a chat. And I believe it's down. You know what? I'll even look it up. I believe it's down in the right-hand corner. She has a like chat thing like we do for our.
Okay, because that's what they asked me. They said, well, I don't know that I want to join. How do I talk to her? So I was steering everybody towards Instagram, her Instagram page, but maybe that wasn't the best course of action.
Let me see. Or connect. Hold on. Let me look it up while we're here. Up at the top on the right, it says connect. And right there, you could fill out your name and your address and your phone number. And you want to, there's a little
block. So it's just so for a conversation.
Yeah. And she, and there's no charge for that. Okay. She'll contact you and give you, an hour of her time.
Okay, then I need to promote that in that direction because I've gotten emails back going, well, I don't know that I want to join. I want to have a conversation. Right. I was like, I don't know how to do that.
And it's the flip side of that, too. She doesn't know if she can help you with that. She has to know what's going on with you. And she's honest that if she can't help you or if it's not in her wheelhouse, she will direct you, you know, somewhere else. She doesn't take everybody.
I'm getting tired of Marcy, though. I'm almost done with her.
Why? What'd she do to you or what'd you do to her?
She's totally mean to me and she's nice to you. And just,
as it should be.
Okay. So if you tell her, let's say, for example, if you stray from your diet and you end up with pain for a day because you've disobeyed you, she says, okay, look, I've analyzed you. This is what you should not be eating.
Right.
And this is what you should be eating. You follow it. You're feeling great. Then you stray.
Right.
Let's say you have a couple days where you're off the reservation and you suffer. You go like, oh, the pain came back. And you tell Marcy in our group chat, you'll tell her, say, well, you know, I had some things I shouldn't have had. I ate some things that weren't on the list. And yeah, the pain started to come back. And Marcy will tell you, well, now listen, you just got to try to, you know, you do stray. It is hard. Keep on track. Yep. If you eat these things, the pain's going to, you know, we're trying to keep you on track. She's wonderful with you about it.
If I tell her
something with me, this is where she treats you like the queen everyone does, and this is where, you know, I'm the stepping stone. I said, well, you know, I strayed off of this and I strayed off of that. She writes back and says, wow, you didn't do what you were told and the pain came back? Imagine that, dumbass. I mean, it's a whole different vibe between you and I.
Because you need it like that. You need it cut and dry and to the point.
I am a sensitive man.
No, you're not. One that's tough on me is her husband.
Well, yeah.
He gets on me because it's amazing. I'm learning that if you don't stay on the protocol, it even affects your blood work. Like, he can see it just from the blood work. Yeah, he told me, like, when I cheated last time and I had a blood test, he's like, now, you need to stay away from the gluten.
And you hadn't even told him. He just knew from the blood work. Oh, that's it.
And he got on my case.
So I had a bad couple of days. I'm not going to put it in the group chat. I had a bad couple of days where I took that big candy dish, that Hershey's candy bowl thing.
Yes, you did.
And I took, there's Hershey dark chocolate, the minis. Mm-hmm. And there, Mr. Good Bars was in there. Uh-huh. The Hershey's chocolate and then Crackle. And there was one more. And I just dumped them all out and I took all the Crackles out, all the red ones. Cause they're like,
that's not what you're supposed to do, but okay.
No, that's what I did.
I know.
Cause you'll tell me I'm 12.
I'm gonna stop buying candy.
Yeah. And I ate them all, and had like two glasses of milk, and then I was dying. I just, the joint pain came back, the pain. Now if I had put that in there, Marcy would have said, well, no shit, dumbass.
And I'm saying the same thing. I said that to you that night.
That's why I'm not telling anybody. I'm not going to tell her because I refuse to be ridiculed for my decisions.
What's the first thing I said? What'd you eat that you weren't supposed to eat? That's what I say to you.
So, I had to give up all the crackles, which just killed me because I love crackles, but I gave them all
up. You're not supposed to have any.
No.
But if you want, you can have one.
I did.
Like, there's sometimes I want a piece of chocolate,
yeah,
but I don't want a whole candy bar. I just want a little chocolate. I may grab one.
I had one.
Liar.
Bowl. Bink. I had one bowl
yeah.
of crackles, and it did me wrong. Hershey did me wrong.
Well, the worst thing is you'll get diabetes, and then we'll go from there, and you'll have to take insulin.
If I take insulin shots, can I have chocolate again?
No, that's not how that works.
I thought that was payment. It's your payment.
No.
All right,
a lot of people that think that, but
here's your chocolate, here's your insulin, have at it.
No.
How much insulin for whiskey then? That's that's the next thing to know. So, yeah, Marcy's mean. She's horrible to me.
She's not mean.
She is. She's nice to everybody else, but she's mean to me, so I'm not talking to Marcy anymore.
No.
Just no bedside manner whatsoever. That's all, Tom. I'm calling it.
That's
like
what
that.
You need. I'm gonna when you, if you ever go in the hospital, I'm gonna tell the nurses the same thing. I'm gonna get you Nurse Ratchet.
Wow, come on.
That's the only thing that's gonna work.
After putting up with Marcy and putting up with you, you think I need one more Nurse Ratchet in my life?
Yep.
Not happy about that. I got another question. You guys say, Dr. McDreamy, I don't know if Dr. McDreamy says this or not, but I've heard this. If you're going to clean out your guts, clean out your colon, there's all sorts of things that cleanse you, blah, 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 blah. But someone mentioned one time, like lettuce or cabbage, if you eat it, it doesn't really have a lot of nutritional value, but it cleans you out.
Yes.
And I said, how? And like, well, just imagine it scraping, you know, as it goes, and it scrapes the sides of your stomach and your intestine. It cleans you out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What happens if I eat an airplane?
What if you eat an airplane?
Well, there's guys. Remember we were kids and they had those television programs. And on the news, there's like, this man has eaten a Cessna. And he goes out into his backyard or a car. He's eaten an entire car.
What?
Yeah, this is a true story. And they cut up little pieces of metal from the roof. And they eat it with their dinner every night until the entire car is gone.
I am not bullshitting you.
No. And there was a dude who ate an airplane. He was on the news and he went out and he cut up a piece of the airplane, sat down, and at dinner he cut it up. And it was like a thing. That's a real thing.
And what was the reasoning for that?
I don't know, because he wanted to be famous or something. I don't know. It was just his gig or he was weird. Maybe he was just fucking mental in the head. But I'm telling you that was a real thing. Now, putting together that historical fact, those historical facts from my childhood, and learning that you guys say lettuce or cabbage will scrape you clean, imagine if I ate like a truck.
No.
Wouldn't the metal going through my body clean me even better than lettuce or cabbage?
No, it'll destroy you.
What are you saying destroy me?
How do you digest that stuff?
I don't know.
So once it goes in, it's coming out the other end, just like it went in there.
Okay, I got it. But I'm telling you, these guys are, look it up. There are people.
I don't even want to waste my time on that.
It's a true story.
I don't care.
There's a couple guys that have eaten cars. There's a couple guys that have eaten airplanes. And I'm saying, if you're able to eat that stuff.
No, you can, but.
Would it not cleanse you out?
No.
Okay, tell me, you're going to tell me that lettuce will scrape your guts better than metal? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it digests and breaks down and goes through. A metal doesn't. It's going to rip and tear and all the way through you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Clean you out good. Yeah, kid.
Can you turn my mic on?
Oh, great.
What mic are you wearing?
The kid's here.
Kid just walked in. He walks in and goes, what the fuck are they talking about?
Exactly. I'm just saying. Okay, lettuce, it's kind of like, imagine someone going like this with a paper towel across your
counter.
Nobody
can see you.
I know, I'm talking to him.
I can't even see you.
Fine, let me walk over there.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Counter, paper towel.
Okay, go back to your mic and I'll just look. I can't hear you over here, so just go ahead. Okay, what do you want now? Go.
Counter, paper towel, right?
Paper towel on the counter.
You wipe the counter with a nice paper towel.
Yeah.
Or would you like to take a wire brush to your granite countertop, you know, and just scrape it? You're going to get it clean. You're just gonna wreck it on the way
okay,
there.
Okay, well then, okay. You're saying take the difference with lettuce and your intestines is like a paper towel on a counter, and metal to your intestines is like a wire brush on your counter.
Yeah.
What if you're cleaning off a barbecue grill? A paper towel ain't gonna do shit. You're gonna need some metal to clean that off. And I guarantee my guts look more like an outdoor grill from 1972 than they do a kitchen countertop.
That's why it can't handle crackles.
You benefited from that. You got the bowl of crackles.
Yeah. Okay. I came in to ask, do you know what a shoe is? Because my dog.
You're interrupting a podcast about a shoe.
Do you want me to go to college with one shoe?
I don't care what
it's
you do. Just get the fuck out of the studio.
Right now. You need to go look.
Your dog took it.
I have no idea.
Go talk to your dog.
He's not much for conversation, you know?
He's not much for conversation.
I have no idea. You're going to have to
It was downstairs in the living room. He was sitting with it yesterday. I saw that. Well, I can't help you.
I have no idea.
You know what? Quit coming in here and interrupting shit.
I'm done.
Bye.
God
see you later.
Redneck. I'm putting a slide bolt on this. He comes in. He doesn't care about the red light. We have a studio with a red light on the outside.
Yes.
He ignores it. He doesn't even care. Doesn't even stop him. Doesn't slow him down. I'm going to put a big slide bolt on the inside of this so he can't get in here. Then we can just pull it when we're done. I have to.
All right.
So you see what I'm saying? This is guy logic about lettuce. If lettuce and cabbage can clean your intestines.
I can't believe how stupid men are. It blows my mind.
Okay. You know what? But this is, I'm talking about it from a practical point of view. You know what? Dr. McDreamy right now.
He's shaking his head.
He is not.
Yes, he is.
Dr. McDreamy he's got an eyebrow raised. He's going, that's interesting, man.
No, he
doesn't.
That's
interesting.
He does not. He's going, what did I get myself into?
Maybe
I shouldn't have said yes to be his doctor. I agree, Dr. McDreamy. I completely agree.
What if we had pre-cut metal like with vitamins?
I don't even want to talk about
all right.
this anymore.
Well, I think that's a topic that needs to be explored a little bit further.
No.
It does.
No, not
no.
at all.
I think it's worth. You know what? Every guy out there, please, ladies and gentlemen, I submit to the jury, to you folks, leave in the comment section whether you think metal would clean out your guts better than lettuce. That's all I'm asking. When we're done here, please leave a note on that. I'd like to hear from you.
Got you like a fish.
Oh, you're just not listening. All right. So,
I'm listening.
Yeah. What else you want to talk about today? It's an open discussion. We got all day.
Well, we brought up the story about our pool the other day and about your connection to Joey Porter.
Yeah, not that anyone remembers who he is. In fact, I asked my oldest son, Will. He'll absolutely know who Joey Porter is. But Joey Porter was an all-pro linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Oh,
Super
I remember
Bowl
the
ring.
Story we were talking about our first dog that we had. How she sensed evil all the time.
Okay,
that's what the story that brought that up.
We're really going to have to connect the dots here.
I know. But I mean, that was the whole thing. That was the story that brought upon the pool story the other day.
Let me connect the dots for you guys real quick. Everybody sit back and listen. When we first moved to town here, we just had kids, no dogs, no cats, no birds. And there was a stray dog running through an intersection, back and forth through this intersection. And the dog looked kind of like a dingo. For those of you that know our dog Ranger, very similar to Ranger. And we're driving home from In-N-Out Burger. I got my lunch. She's got her lunch. We're driving in a 2000 blue Toyota Sienna van because I was a soccer mom for a few years. True story. And she says,
"But you were cute too."
Was I?
You were cute.
I was cute.
Okay, go ahead.
And you said, "Stop and get the dog."
I'm like, stop. The dog's going to get run over.
And the dog didn't just run through the intersection. It kept coming back.
Yeah.
It kept darting. And I'm like, okay, that dog's going to get fucking hit.
Yeah, it was
hit.
In the field and out of the field. There were no houses really around. It was just
and
running.
It was just an intersection, and it did have a stoplight there. It was busy on one corner. But this dog, and I'm like, what a fucking stupid dog.
And it was a puppy.
And you started wigging out.
Oh, yeah.
And so I pull over. I have to stop traffic because everyone's now pissed off and honking about this dog. So now I get out and I'm having to make enemies of people in town because I'm like, all right, look, you guys got to quit driving until we get this dog. And everyone's like, get the fuck out of the road. And I'm like, my wife wants the dog. You're going to do what I tell you.
She will have the dog.
She will have the dog. The problem was you took my In-N-Out Burger.
Fries.
And gave it to the dog to get the dog in the van.
It worked. I got the dog in the van faster than you.
You fed her my lunch. That's not good.
Oh, well.
So we get in there and we get back home with the dog. And, you know, the dog's kind of freaking out because the dog's been on the street for a while. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the first times my daughters collectively lied to me as a group. My daughters lied all the time.
And mom backed them up.
Yeah, they collectively lied because we got the dog back and I said, okay, why do we have this stupid dog? Where's my fucking lunch? And I don't like this dog. And the dog didn't like, dog's name was Roxy.
Yeah.
Roxy never liked me.
Yeah, we think she was like beaten or something. She was very aggressive.
She was very aggressive, but then she would wig out timid like she was beat.
Yeah.
So, of course, all the daughters, you know, they're like, oh, dad, the dog. I said, I said, the dog is now out of the intersection. The dog is now safe. The dog is now fed because it had my lunch. Let's put the dog back out on the street. Now, at least it's in a neighborhood.
No, that's not how that. No, yeah, not how that's
what
going.
You said. And then my daughter started crying and they said, no. And I remember this vividly. Dad, we'll put up signs. We will find the owner of the dog.
Yes, we did.
Just give us a few days. Please, Dad, don't kick the dog out. Every daughter and my wife begging me to just give you guys a week. We'll put up signs. We'll put up pictures. We'll find the owner. Please, Dad, don't kick the dog out.
13 years later,
that dog was still in my house. You guys lied. No one ever put up any fucking pictures. You guys never made any effort to get rid of the dog.
But she turned out to be a very, very good guard dog.
She was a very good guard dog. But the story is kind of weird. Here's where it ties around to Joey Porter, the football player. And we're getting there.
Right.
This dog could really sense people. Right. We always made a joke that Roxy could sense evil.
Yeah, dogs sense evil.
If people would come into my backyard, she'd meet him at the gate. They'd come walking through. She's jumping up and down. She's licking. She's kissing. She's doing her thing until you left. You could be here 15 minutes.
That's right.
You could be here 4 hours. But then as you're walking towards the gate.
She didn't want anybody to leave.
No, she would nip. She would actually physically bite, little nip,
yes,
at people's ankles and legs when they went to leave. We actually had to train ourselves to take people out through the house.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. Well, I'll just walk down by the gate. No, don't walk down by the gate because the dog will bite you. Wait, the dog, I've been here for 2 hours. The dog's going to bite you if you try to leave. True story. So that was the premise of Roxy. And then when we had our pool built, the guy's name was Travis Blackenberg or Travis Black. I don't remember his name. I don't care if he hears this and gets pissed. It turned out to be a fucked up deal. But she hated that guy.
Every time he showed up. Now, you have to tell them that. We had just moved into this house, and so the backyard was all dirt. It had a wood fence that was falling down. Yeah. So we had her tied up while the workers were going back and forth doing the pool. So she was tied up in the front yard. So as soon as even his truck showed up, she was going apeshit. Like,
not his workers, though.
Not the workers,
no.
Just this guy.
Yep.
And I told you, I said, man, there's something wrong with this guy. There's just, she does not
she
like him.
She hated him. The workers could come by. There was 15 or 20 guys.
Yeah, they were fine.
And we're doing fences and we're putting a pool in. They were okay. But as soon as Travis showed up, his big fucking orange lifted truck.
Uh-huh.
And then she just strained at that chain and that stake in the ground.
Yes.
She just like, she wanted to kill him.
And I kept warning you.
Yeah.
And at this moment, Travis wasn't a problem the moment.
Travis only became a problem for me building the pool at the end. And I'm not sure what happened, but if you guys have ever built a pool, you don't just give the pool company all the money and hope they build the pool. You also don't give them one check at the end. It's kind of a construction project, so you pay as you go.
Right.
You know, so much money gets you started, and then when they finish the hole in the gunite, you give them some more. So we got down to the very end where we just had to do plaster and tile. And Travis had come to me and said, I need the money up front. And I thought, nah, dude, just finish the job and I'll pay you. It was only, I think we're down to our last $6,000 or $7,000 of what we were going to owe. And he wouldn't do it. He wanted the money up front, which told me something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, then I'm walking away from this project and you can finish it yourself. And I remember you going,
God.
Yeah, you were like, oh, shit, what do? We spent all this money. We have no pool. And I'm like, okay, I can figure this out. I mean, there's only two things left. I'm sure I can find someone who does this. Because that's all Travis did was subcontract this stuff out to subcontractors.
Right.
He dug the hole. I remember he dug the hole with a bobcat. After that, everything he did was he contracted it out to people. So I said, just relax. So I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with him because that changes our warranty on the pool if the guy's not going to finish it. And somebody had mentioned, he had mentioned during this thing because he was showing off, I'm also building Joey Porter's pool. You know, I got the Joey Porter contract. So I knew that he had that pool. So I found Joey Porter's mansion.
Here in town.
Yeah. So I drive out there one day and one of the dudes lets me in. And it's a brand new house on a brand new property. And I just walked out back because there's lots of people, construction people working. And I think I talked to his wife. His wife was very nice. I think her name was Christy. She's very polite. And I said, well, I was just looking for if you guys are doing Travis for your pool and I'm having trouble. Have you seen him? Can you find him? I was just trying to get some information. And so Joey Porter comes over and he introduces himself. We talked for a minute and I said, oh, I'm having trouble with Travis. I got to finish the pool. I'm not happy with what's going on. So Joey calls him on the phone right in front of me. And just he goes, hey, motherfucker, I got this dude here. He's got the same problem as I do. You're fucking up his pool, too. And he just went, I'm like, well, it isn't exactly how I put it. But that situation with Joey and his crew and Travis, they went down a different path and got results. I finally just walked away. I talked to Joey off on a few times. We bumped into each other for a few different things. And I just kind of, you know, hey, it's cool. Let's just leave it where it is. But with Travis, I just punted on him. I finished the pool myself. You remember that? Everything yes. turned out fine, which amazes me because our whole life, when these big situations come up where you like panic, I don't think you can name one I didn't solve for you. I've taken care of you on pretty much everything. Yet every time something comes up, you look at me like, you're going to fuck this up again. I haven't fucked one of them up yet.
Just scares the bejeevers out of me. That's all. Oh man.
So the story is, and I forget how we got to that thing, but it was the dog who didn't like Travis and Travis who fucked up the pool and got me in contact with Joey Porter. So there's my Joey Porter story. He was a cool cat.
So Roxy was right the whole time.
Roxy was right. The dog was right the whole time. That dog and I did not get along at all.
Oh no, not at all.
You
got to tell the story of our daughter and that dog.
Oh,
come on.
We
one
finally
more.
Go to move. We go to move out of this, out of that house, and we move the bunk beds away from the wall. And there is a 2-foot gash, 2 foot long, 2 foot wide.
Through the plaster.
About maybe a foot tall.
Yeah, it's big.
It had to have been 4 inches deep, almost all the way through the plaster and the insulation and the wood to get to the stucco on the outside of the wall. And I go, and it's this huge, I go, what the fuck happened here? And our one daughter, little misinformant, the informant is the one who lives up in, where does she live? What's that town with a C?
Clovis.
She lives in Clovis now. And she's telling on the daughter who's married to the Marine.
They were sharing a room.
She goes, well, Dad, About a year ago, she took the dog in the room and locked the door and wouldn't let the dog out. And I go, what for? She goes, she was forcing the dog to play with her.
And stay with her.
The dog hid under the bed and tried to claw its way out through the drywall. Now, our daughter would never hurt the dog, but the dog was obviously like, I'm done in here. I don't want to be in this fucking room anymore.
You will love me.
And our daughter was like, you will love me. Love me. And that wouldn't surprise me at all. So
poor Roxy.
When I did pull the bed away, there was a huge hole in the wall from where I didn't know it was there.
We had no idea it was there. Man. None whatsoever.
Yeah. So, but I got mad at all the daughters because all the four daughters knew and none of them told me. So that was bullshit. So there you go. Yeah. Now you guys know the story of how we got the stupid dog with my In-N-Out burger lunch. My daughters collectively lied to me. The dog could sense evil. And there's my Joey Porter story.
Yeah. So last week, you had a really busy week with interviews last week. Who did you interview last week?
Well, one was Brian Connor from Highway Down, Nashville singer. Songwriter guy, and the other one was Haywood Nelson, who obviously people are getting to know. He was on What's Happening and What's Happening Now. He was hundreds of commercials and TV spots in the 70s and 80s. Great guy. Did both those interviews.
How'd those interviews go?
I don't know.
What?
I want to. Well, okay. Let's just take Haywood Nelson's, and I haven't aired it yet. But when you talk to Haywood, and I've seen his other interviews online, it's story after funny story after blooper after, oh, you know, Fred Berry who played Rerun, it was this, and Raj was that, and then there was this time I almost got this job, and it was all these clever, funny, witty stories. There was some of those with Haywood, and there was some of those with Brian Connor during his interview. But these two guys, individually at different times, sat down with me like they wanted to tell me their life story. Like they wanted to, like a documentary, but without pictures. And they were very serious. There were some funny moments in there. There definitely was. But Haywood sat down and he says, okay, I'm glad I'm here, and get the tape rolling. And he started back with his grandfather and his dad as jazz musicians in Florida. Now, I'm enthralled. Mm-hmm. Because I like Haywood a ton. And I mean, anything he wants to share with me about his family history is great. But unless you're really interested in this cat, you might find that a dry read. And I'm like, man, this is, I even came in the house and I was talking to Haywood's wife and I said, well, it was really great for me, but I'm not sure. I mean, this is something you'd pass along to your kids and say, that's my dad's history. That's my dad's life. There was a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, but there's other people that might enjoy it too. Well, I want to hear it. I'm interested in hearing
it. I'm going to put it out there, but I just don't want people to think, because I didn't probe for the funny stuff. Like
you can always bring him back and do, well, just break it down to, you know, what happened on what's happening.
He agreed to come back and just tell the funny stories.
Yeah, but just narrow it down to talk about your time at what happening. For an hour, he could probably come up with a ton of stuff
for
that.
We could talk for, 2 hours.
But now you got a premise. You got a preamble.
I do, but I just don't. I don't want people to think that the interviews are boring because they don't have the interest that I do. I was interested in his father and his grandfather and how he was raised. And then how his time when he was in Harlem and Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I found that fascinating. But I don't know. They were great interviews. Same with Brian Connor. You know, the way he bounced around.
Just because you think that doesn't mean everybody's going to think that.
Okay. Well, let me clarify. I thought they were incredibly interesting, but I don't know how, you know, everybody else would take it.
Then you just throw it out there and see what happens.
I guess. Anyway, so those two are in the can. We got them done. I also got Eric Scott Williams in the can is done.
I know. You have mine. You have our sons. You're way behind.
I'm way behind. But I got them. I got them on tape. So
we need a video editor or something.
Well, Trippy Pineapple came up with an idea. He goes, there's dudes that do this for a living. They like are on one big Reddit site or something, and they put up their resume, what they're willing to do for money.
Yeah.
And they'll do one. They'll just do one for you. Say, well, give me the interview, and I'll edit it and make it sound right. And do what do you want it to? And it's, you know, you pay them whatever, $250, $300, whatever the dollar amount is, and they'll do them for you. So I may go that route. I may talk to Tripp about doing that again.
All righty. Well,
okay,
that's
so
good.
Before we get into our kids, let's go to the grandkid thing. What was the deal with you? I know you always have Grammy time. You have your little FaceTime with the grandkids. But was our oldest son, was he unhappy with you?
No.
Okay, what happened there?
So I have Grammy time with our grandson every other week after school for like an hour or two. And this last week...
And you're talking about FaceTime. You don't go there every week.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. FaceTime. We FaceTime and we'll play a game on the iPad together. We'll sit and talk. But this week, we introduced him to TD Balloons, which is a game monkeys shooting?
Balloon Six is monkeys popping balloons.
Yeah,
that's a lot
and it's
fun.
Really fun. And our son said he's completely enthralled with this. So I was able to look at these words that I'm going to use right now, co-op with him.
You played a co-op game.
Yeah, so Grammy and our grandson, I had the phone on and we were FaceTiming at the same time that I'm playing the video game on the computer.
Yeah.
And we're started and everything, and my son walks in and says, I need my phone, because he was using his dad's phone.
Yeah.
And he looked at his dad like, no, we're in the middle of a game. And he goes, it's work. I've got to go. Well, it ended up that he took it for the whole time we played this game.
Wow.
We did 100 rounds of this game on TD Balloons. And we were doing great. We had such a good time. And I guess I had to go because we had a live stream. Right. I told him that I only had an hour today.
How did you keep playing the game if he took the phone?
We just did. We were on the computer. I said we were FaceTiming on the television, but we were playing the game on the computer. So you could still play.
Where does the phone come into this then? If you're FaceTiming on the television.
We couldn't communicate with each other anymore. We couldn't talk to each other.
Let me see if I'm going to square this away for the audience. So you were FaceTiming each other on the dad's cell phone.
Still, I said that, yes.
And then playing a game off to one side. And
on a computer.
When he took the phone, you guys could still play the game, but you couldn't talk anymore.
We lost communication.
Okay.
That's exactly what I said. I said all
okay,
that.
Okay, I promise you everybody was just as confused
as
me.
No, they knew exactly what I was
talking
about.
Not even close.
No, they did.
All
completely.
Right. All right.
So we continued to play the game without any communication because he doesn't know how to type a message on the game. We were just going to talk it out.
I got you.
So I had to go because we had a live stream. We had a Bottom of the Glass Nation thing. So my daughter-in-law texted me and said that my grandson's really upset. And I went, at me? I said, I told him we only had an hour. She goes, No, at his dad. And I said, why? And she said, because he's so angry. He goes, I am so angry at dad right now. That's what he went and told his mom.
Oh, okay. Because I'm getting, from my perspective, talking to the dad and the mom and listening to the kids stuff, I couldn't tell who was mad at who. But now it makes sense because I guess the grandson went to his dad and was like, you're fucking up Grammy time.
Exactly.
You're fucking up Grammy time. I don't care about work. You know.
He was so upset because he couldn't talk to me at all. We couldn't communicate.
That makes
so
sense on who's upset.
So he asked his mom, he goes, I want more Grammy time.
Oh, I thought he was going to say he wanted a phone. I want a phone.
No, he goes, I need more Grammy time. So she texts me. She goes, is there any way you can do it in the next couple days? And I said, I think I can do it Friday afternoon, depending on my schedule. I said, we'll touch base on Friday. So now he's really excited. But
well,
we still have to borrow a phone.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you better hope it works out. You better have the phone situation cleared up.
Yeah, we cannot overstep our bounds and buy a phone because
we don't know
what the rules are
house. I would not buy a child a phone, but I wouldn't be opposed to going to our son and saying, hey, you know, we can put a phone on our plan, a minimum thing, just to call Grammy, you know, and he can take it away from him just for, I don't mind that. But
yeah,
I
don't know if I would.
I'd ask him, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be so presumptuous to do that with him. So let's give a kid update and a daughter update.
All right.
The kid update's pretty quick, but it's weird. And I'll tell you why I think it's weird.
Is this something I haven't heard yet?
I think you've heard it all, but maybe I'm going to summarize it, and maybe you would agree with the summary by what you've observed.
Okay.
Real quick with the kid, it's like he's still lazy. He's still fucking up shit. He forgets things all the time. He incompletes jobs. He does some good. He does some bad. He's not a bad kid. He doesn't do anything wrong. It's just I can't get him to grow up and behave.
Right.
You and I got into an argument where I said, he's fucking mental. His ignition timing is retarded. And you're like, no, he's just lazy. And I'm like, no, there's something mentally wrong with him. You know, too many COVID shots. And you're like, nope,
he never had a COVID shot. So that debunked it.
Okay, too many episodes of COVID there. And because you said he got COVID like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, he's lazy. That's what we come to the agreement. He's lazy. And I'm like, dude, you know, we got to talk about you living here. Because I'm at a point where I can't do this anymore with him. And I don't think one of the agreements was you carry 12 units in college. I don't think he is. I don't think he's been carrying 12 units for months now. And that's one of the criteria for, he's lied to me about it. And he's being lazy and he's pissing me off. Now it's coming down to, you got to fucking go. Just get out, go move out. And he came to me ahead of that and said, hey, I'm moving out. Okay. Well, so perhaps he saw the handwriting on the wall. But he had a lot of homework done on moving out already. He already had.
He was way ahead of you.
Way ahead. And so now I'm in the mode of, all right, well, I'll help you if you really want to try this. But I think here's what I'm going to summarize. There is a big part of him that is excited and really wants to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in my heart there's part of him that says, no matter how hard I try to do this, I'm going to fuck it up. Because he knows the lazy part. When you catch him doing something, why the fuck didn't you do this right? You know how to do this job. Even if something is rolling up a hose, You know to roll up the garden hose when you're done with it. Why didn't you do it? He just looks at you and he goes, I don't know. I don't know why I don't do this. I don't know. And this is where the argument, you know, something wrong with him or is he lazy?
No, he's just distracted.
I got you.
It's like every other teenager that's out there in the world.
Okay, well, that's what he's worried about. He's worried that whatever is allowing him to just float through life, lazy, lackadaisy, whatever you want to call it, he goes, that's gonna come back to bite me in the ass when I'm out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's also how you're going to learn.
Yep,
your exactly. trash piles up in your house for 3 weeks. You're going to go, shit, I need to dump the trash. I get it. He's going to learn through this. But now I want you to know my summary of this is he's excited to move out, but he's very much aware that whatever is allowing him to be lazy is going to cripple him once he's out. And I said, I'm all with you. You want to take some furniture? You've given him a couple chairs that we don't want anymore. I gave him our old dining room table that I had in storage. I mean, we're helping him go.
Right.
Bottom of the Glass Nation guys are giving him a couple bucks here. Come on, everyone's behind him. But he's at a very weird point in his life because I know he's pulling back all of his college this summer, which is smart because he's spread too thin.
Agreed.
He's having emotional breakdowns now and he needs to recenter. I don't know that I would have moved out. I think I would have stayed home and tried to regroup and fortify, strengthen my position, but
I would rather pay $400 a month rent than pay $1,500 or $1,800 a month rent.
And utilities and food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's him. We're going to see where
everybody,
that goes.
I think, would agree. Like, we've even talked, or I have talked, maybe not you, but I said, if I could go back in time and stay home at my parents' house longer pay rent or go to school or whatever and pay and do whatever they wanted me to do, in a heartbeat, I'd go back and redo that completely.
He's getting some mixed messages from he talked to almost all of his brothers and sisters about this, I found out.
Mm-hmm.
They all told him one thing in common. Stay home as long as you can. Don't move out into the world. You're going to regret it. Every one of them, boy or girl, told him, we should have stayed home longer.
Yep.
But he split on something else.
Yeah, but it's hard because you want that freedom. You want to go be an adult and make your own decisions. But he's also in a weird age. I don't know if anybody agrees with you, but it's not just when you turn 18. It's 18 and you graduate. When that period of your life is over where the teachers give you due dates, your parents are giving you due dates, you already have a schedule, you got to be at school at this time, you're off at this time, you have a schedule, right? Then you graduate and then school doesn't give a shit anymore. And all of a sudden you're like, but then it's weird because you're 18 out of school, but you're not 21 yet. That 18 to 21 is weird.
It's a tough one. Well, he sleeps in when he should be getting up and getting on with his day. It's just odd because he can. He's 18.
Exactly. It's just a weird, you're old enough to do some things, but not old enough to do another thing. And you're supposedly an adult, but you really aren't an adult. It's just a weird time.
And then he
got
his job. I forced him. I said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. You got 1 week to get a job.
And he's really good at
it. Or you're out. Get a job. So every day I kicked him out of the house. He went out looking for a job 8 hours a day. On the third day, he found a job. Now, what are all the good things a kid learns when you force him to get a job? They show up on time. They have to dress correctly. They got a shower. They have to follow instructions. Mm-hmm. They have to learn how to do a job, learn how to work with others, learn how to have a boss. Those are all the things that go along with you getting a job, even if it's at McDonald's. What's the job he got?
Stay at home.
He stays at home.
Work from home.
His boss is remote. He has no schedule. He works when he wants to.
Yep.
And he does very well at it. He makes money at it, but it didn't really accomplish what I wanted it to accomplish.
But it's going to when he moves out because he's going to have to work to make the money to.
It's true. He'll have to discipline.
Freedom's expensive.
Freedom's very expensive.
So you
see what I'm saying with
him?
You interrupted me. Let me finish the second thing. That he had a universal message from his brothers and sisters that was stay home as long as you can. Mm-hmm. The conflict he got was like with our millennial son in Eureka, the computer repairing, tree hugging, pot smoking son. He's like, okay, when you move out, you're going to need a roommate. Don't try to do this on your own. You got to get a roommate. Ugh. And then our older son, the millennial son living in Vegas, goes, never get a roommate. Don't,
he
whatever
had the roommate
you do,
from hell, that's
don't
why.
Get a roommate no matter what.
That's why.
He goes, I'm a little bit scratching my head on that one, Dad. I said, well, that just depends on who you get. But he wants to do this alone, and I'm hoping it works. I really hope he goes out there, because what I'm afraid is going to happen, and everybody can write this down. I'm afraid he's going to move out for 2 months, blow all of his money trying to function, pay the rent, pay the utilities, pay the food, you know, and then come back and going, I have no money. And I still have a 4 month contract. I'm sure he's going to get a 6 month contract in his apartment. I got to pay the other rent on the apartment for the next 6 months or 4 months, but I need to come home. I can't pay rent here and there. I'm afraid that it's going to be just a kick in the balls. I really hope it works.
Hey, whatever lease he signs on, he's going to have to fulfill it. That's how I feel.
True.
If he's going to sign on for 6 months, then he's going to have to grind it out.
Yeah, that's what
he'll
I just
have to go get another job.
That's what I just said. He'd come home saying, I have to pay this, but
he's not coming home.
I'm telling you that we're going to get the knock on the door. Just so you know, that's my prediction. Now, let's move on to the daughter. And I have a question about this. What did you tell me? Now, she's working at a main job. She works for Caterpillar and she loves it. Great company. Mm-hmm. And she works
there. In the distribution center.
In the distribution center, works full time and loves it.
Yeah.
Okay.
3/12.
But she also kept her little farm job one day a week. Now, did you say there was an issue there or there wasn't an issue there?
Regarding her?
Well, I didn't, it maybe wasn't regarding her at all.
It's not regarding her. She heard through the grapevine that there's a person that works there that married into the family, and now they're divorcing.
Oh, okay. So this
it has
just,
nothing to do with her. It's just some inner gossip.
It was a life lesson for her, like, because once that girl married into the family and now she's getting divorced, she's not only out of the family, she's out of a job.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
moving
yes.
on to her boyfriend, this is the other stuff I didn't quite get a handle on. You said... What was it you said? You said something about he didn't introduce
He's
her?
Got, okay, this boyfriend has three sisters, two okay. older, one younger. I guess the youngest one came into the farm a while ago. It wasn't anytime soon, a while ago. And she knew it was her. I guess I would say the boyfriend told her it was her. So right. he had enough time to tell her,
right?
But didn't have time to introduce our daughter to his sister.
Oh.
Suppose. She's saying they were too busy. Obviously, it wasn't too busy for him to walk over and go, hey, that's my sister.
That's my sister, yeah.
But no introduction was given.
Okay, that's...
Red flag number 365.
That is our daughter making a lame excuse to cover for her boyfriend, who clearly should have introduced her to his sister.
Yes.
All right. So that was one. What was the other one? There was something else.
We were talking about in-laws that was the other thing. I said, you know, when you marry somebody, you are marrying into that family. Like, if the family doesn't accept you, there's going to be some issues. Like,
true.
There's always going to be some struggle or something like that.
What was it with the mom's surgery or something you said?
Well, we were talking about in-laws because that tied into the gossiping story of she has in-laws that are part of the farm. That's how we got there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I thought you were going to tell me that the boyfriend said, no, we can't get married until after my mom's surgery or something like that.
No, okay. She just made a comment. The daughter made a comment to me that she might, if she marries this guy, she really won't have in-laws because one, his father has passed away, and two, the mom is sick. And I'm like, that's a happy way to go into this thing.
Well, our daughter, would you guys know the story of her in and out? I talked to her the other day. I said, look, we're definitely moving. We're selling and we're moving. And she said, well, I think I'm going to get an apartment here in town or I'm just going to move with you guys. And I go, well, those are two very drastic differences. I mean, one is you get an apartment, you keep your boyfriend, you keep your jobs. And the other one is you're uprooting and leaving everything. And then I told her, I said, but you didn't, it's not like she said, well, I could get an apartment or I could leave with you guys or I could move back in with my boyfriend and get married. I go, you didn't bring up him at all.
No.
The options were I could get an apartment or I could move with you guys. No option was I'm going to get married and stay here with this guy.
But that's what I told you last night was a totally different story. She talked about marrying him. She has no idea what she wants to do. Has no clue. I don't understand it.
It's like her situation with this guy is literally a big rubber ball bouncing in a room and you never know where it's going to land. It just bounces from wall to wall, up to down, across. You have one day they're going to get married and have kids. One day she's never going back and seeing him. One day she's moving with us.
Right.
One day she's going to get an apartment and still date him.
Every option. What I'm afraid of is that she's going to blame us at the very end, because when we move, if she chooses to move with us and things don't work out with the boyfriend, she's going to blow it on us and go, it's because you guys moved and made me make a decision.
Well, I think something's coming sooner than that. I think at the barbecue, either on June 1st, the mini Gen X Talks barbecue, or the big one on Labor Day, I think something's going to happen. I really do.
Like what?
I think I may get drunk and say something.
I don't think it'll faze him. Are you going to say it to her or to him?
No, to him.
I don't think he's going to care.
Oh, I think it's going to be a big issue.
Well,
but that's just me. But that's only if I drink. And I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm just saying I feel like it's coming.
I don't know, but she needs to make a decision.
Speaking of this moving, you know what? You are such... All women are weird. All women have their weird moments, and you are no exception. You've been always... You're bugging me like, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to sell the house? How are we going to buy another house? Well, how does this work? What are we going to do? Where do we live? Where do we go? I'm like, okay, look, there's a bunch of options. I got it. You know, today, I had an epiphany talking with a buddy of mine. I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy an RV. And I'm going to buy a used one. It'd be nice. And then we can travel, because you've been bugging me about buying an RV for years. Now we can travel and go see the kids. We can go across the country and see Gen X Talks fans for dinners and do stuff and hang out all over the country. This will be fun. We get to see stuff and travel and do stuff. And now we can either buy, we can live in it for just a little bit and buy a piece of property and put something on it. Or we can live in it for, you know, a month or two and buy the house we want to buy where we want to buy it. No big deal. And I tell you this, this is such a great answer. What a simple solution. It covers so many things and gives us opportunities, and it fulfills something you've been bugging me about for years. So I express all this to you, and I honestly, you know, I thought your response was going to be, I thought you'd take off all your clothes, run over here and jump on me and start kissing me, because I have now solved all of your problems and I'm fulfilling one of your desires of traveling and doing stuff. And I look over and you're crying. The tears are welling up in your eyes. I'm like, what the fuck, man? You absolutely went completely off the reservation. When Dr. McDreamy says he's got your hormones figured out, yeah, I don't think so.
You hit me that 10 minutes before we went on a podcast this morning. You've never talked about that ever before, and you hit me with it. And I was like, where the hell did that come from? Plus, it's just, this is our home, and it's just, it's still hard. See, I'm going to get all teary-eyed. It's hard to give up your home. Like, we will not have a place. The RV will be the place.
Well, for a minute, till we buy something, we pick a house and we go buy it.
I know, I told you, I have to let it sit. I have to think about it. I am not that kind of person where I can just, like, just snap and be
okay, like, but okay, regardless of that, you said, oh, you gave me this news 10 minutes before the podcast. I'm sorry. When is the appropriate time to give you good, exciting
news?
Not
before a podcast, before I go live.
Well, I didn't tell you someone died 10 minutes.
Doesn't this matter. Was, this is great. Reality. Reality is setting in.
Oh, my
People
God.
People talk about moving all the time.
Yeah. But when now, I do, I go.
Yeah, I know. I know better.
I'm telling you, if there was ever a more appropriate time to quote Iceman from Bodfish, I looked at you after this great, amazing news, and you're sitting in your chair crying. I'm going, chicks, man, chicks. Because there's nothing I could have said to make that any better. I thought that was great news. It'd be just perfect news. Solves everything, and you're like, oh.
I don't see the big picture yet, okay?
All right.
You just gave me some details, so geez. I got no comment. Right now, I have no comment.
I believe you.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. Oh, I'm done with that one. So what else you got in here?
I don't know. Let's see. Do you have a car story this time? This week?
Kind of. It's kind of a weird thing with cars on this that I think it was Josh Maddox who brought this up the other day about, and I know you've talked about a little bit with people about, it was a YouTube video. Someone sent us a YouTube video about, do they make car parts that fall apart? Do they make cars that fail on purpose? And the guy in the interview said, well, yes, they do. And I listened to the whole thing, and he's mostly right. So let me give you an example, because this was brought up at one of our big seminars. We had a big seminar in Anaheim with Honda one time, and it was a really interactive one, and I was there listening. I wasn't on the panel. I was in the audience listening. And let's say a water pump. You put a water pump on a car, and it'll go 60,000 miles before it fails. Could they build a water pump that never failed? Sure. Because the shaft and the bearings that spin and the O-rings that hold it together, they're designed that they will fail around 60,000 miles. That's what they do. Could they build one that lasted forever? Sure. We build space shuttles that go into outer space. We could build a water pump with parts that would never, that would not, the rest of the car would fail before the water pump did. All right, so let's just say you took that one thing, and you now the water pump would probably be, instead of a $100 water pump, maybe it's a $2,000 water pump, because built by NASA, but it never fails. How much of the market did you just kill? If you put a water pump on every car, every Toyota, every Honda, every Ford, every Chrysler,
they'll need a water pump.
How many thousands of people did you damage by putting them out of production? They don't make replacement parts anymore. You don't make water pumps. You don't make new ones. You don't make used ones. The people who rebuild them, they're out of a job. The people that make equipment that rebuild those, they're out of a job. Truckers aren't hauling as many water pumps. They're going to have to haul something else. I'm not saying they car that lasted a million miles. Now, there's wearable parts on a car. You still would have to change the oil. You still would have to change the brakes. All right, we got some wearable items. Tires would go bad. But setting aside wearable items, could you build a car that went a million miles and didn't wear out? Yes.
Wow.
You could. Now, maybe that car would cost you $600,000 or $500,000, whatever it would be. Maybe it wouldn't be that much. Maybe about $300,000, but you could build a car that wouldn't wear out.
Okay.
Some people would buy that car. A lot of people would. It's like, okay, that car, it's going to cost me $300,000, but it's going to last me forever. I never have to worry about buying another car my whole life.
But what about wear and tear?
On what? Now, we just talked about that. Were you listening?
Yes.
Tires can wear out. They're rubber on the road. Your brakes would wear out. The oil changes. Okay. A few things. But no car repairs. You're done. You never have to do anything other than just a little bit of maintenance forever. But the car would never wear out. No water pumps, no radiators, no belts and hoses, no head gaskets, no oil leaks, no water leaks.
Mm-hmm.
You could build it and it would never fail.
Okay.
Now, how many people do you put out of business?
A ton.
Now you've crippled an entire economy. Now it's like if you took every person who did anything automotive related, shut down all the parts houses, every place that sells auto parts, close them up. All the truckers that deliver parts, close them down. All the places that build new parts, rebuilt parts, remanufactured parts, all those places who remanufacture, shut them down, send everybody home. All the repair shops, no need for repairs anymore. You're done. Shut them all down. You're talking about millions of people. You're dumping them right back into the unemployment lines because you built a car that lasts virtually forever.
Uh-huh.
Well, why would you do that? You couldn't. I mean, on the consumer side, as a person, you're thinking, that's what I want. I don't care what it costs. Figure out what the cost is. I'll figure out what my payments are. I'll budget it in. Now I don't have a car repair ever again. It sounds great if you're a consumer. Not so good if you're in the automotive industry.
Right.
And certainly not good for the entire economy, because now everything gets screwed up. You just can't take that big of a sector and close it down. It affects people start losing their houses. People start losing their cars. They can't, divorces happen because, I mean, you can't even imagine the ripple effect that closing that big of a sector down.
Okay.
So even if you could build a car that was virtually indestructible like that, you wouldn't do it. You would not do it. You will build a car. So now you just have to figure out what's reasonable. what can we allow to fail at certain times? What's reasonable? You know, can we have parts that go 30, 40,000 miles? Well, yeah. How about 10,000 miles? No, I don't want that car. 10,000 is too soon. As a consumer, I don't want to start repairing my car at 10,000 miles. So there's kind of an unwritten rule. There's kind of an unwritten thing. They do the best they can, but they want the cars to last. You buy a Toyota or you buy a Honda because they last longer before they begin repairs than, let's say, a Ford or a Chevy. That's what they just do. But everybody's kind of in the same boat that, you know, at 60, 70, 80,000 miles, timing belts need to be replaced. Radiator hoses and rubber belts have worn out. There's just kind of a common thread in there that you just know at these times, these things are going to wear out, and that's okay. It's acceptable, and everyone pays it. The cars are a little bit less expensive than a $350,000 car, and it keeps that whole sector of the economy in check. Everyone's still working. Everybody's still going. So when Josh or somebody says, well, can they design or do they design cars to fail? Well, not exactly. They're not designing it to fail. Well, we've designed a water pump that's going to fail at 60,000. No, it's more of, we're just not going to make one that goes a million miles, or it's pointless. We need to, there has to be some, revolving door stuff here.
Understood.
So there is that with cars. And when we were at Honda, they were explaining to us, they said we can build a lot of these components that would just last forever. You never have to replace it. But even if you, now we just talked about, if you build a car that way, you kill an economy. Now, are you going to kill the economy by having a water pump that's built that way? Well, probably not. It's just a water pump. It's going to cause some problems, but some small ripples.
Right.
But if that same company says, well, we're going to do it to starters now also. Oh, we're also going to build radiators that last forever. Well, pretty soon.
The whole cars get.
So there is a balance there. And those people get rich. You know, a couple people would get rich off of a lifetime car. But if you can, and if you build lifetime parts, a handful of people would get rich, but then everybody else would suffer. So yes, parts are designed not to fail, but they're designed very specifically with how long they're expected to last. And the answer is, they're never going to be designed to last forever.
Understood. Got it.
So
that's
kind of a car story, but there it's, and then when you buy parts as a mechanic, I know if I've got 10 choices of water pumps, I know which water pump I'm putting on the car is going to last 20,000 miles and which one's going to last 80,000 miles. Mm. And I will tell you right now, most of the time when you buy parts for your car or your truck, the dealership part, most of the time, dealership parts last 5 times longer than aftermarket parts.
Wow.
But they're 5 times more expensive too. And that isn't always the case. Sometimes there's redesigns on parts that are better aftermarket. But for the most part, you buy the dealership stuff. The dealership updates their stuff too. 9 times out of 10, you're getting a better quality product when you buy a dealership part.
Wow.
But you got to pay for it.
Yeah. It costs a fortune.
So, but don't worry. That's something you don't have to worry about. You have a husband.
Yes, I do.
I will take care of those things for you.
I do.
So what do you think about this gold coin thing we've been doing?
It's fun. I mean, the scavenger hunt thing is a good idea. It's fun. It's interactive. And
well, tell everybody in radio and TV land what it is we're doing. Give them the whole story.
Well, it changes a lot. So I don't know if I'm going to give them the right details, but Gen X Talks has a gold coin that you and I are traveling and placing in different parts of the country. Right now, it's just in the United States. We hide it. We take pictures of the whereabouts. We're not being secretive of where it's put. But if you want to drive out to find it and collect it and take a picture along the way and let us know, you get rewards. And what are the rewards that they're getting?
Well, right now it's $100 Visa card, $100 gift shop. They never have to pay to get into a Gen X Talks event.
Right.
Anything that we do where you have to buy a ticket to get in, whether it's $25 or $100, they get in for free. They get a free drink wherever they show up with us. We'll buy them a drink. It's kind of, you hold that gold coin and that's your chit. You know, you're in.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of doing that. You know, I want to say something so bad, but I don't want to give it away.
No, don't say anything.
But we have 2 trips planned.
Yes, we do.
And they're going to be fun. I'm really surprised you wanted to get up and go with me. I'm like, hey, remember the other day I woke up, I said, okay, how long does it take to drive to this town? And you're like, what the fuck are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm like, why? That was so random. I'm like, said, what's there?
Figure it out. So you call me back. You're like, okay, we could get there and get back and we get a hotel room, spend the night and come back. I said, okay, what day can we go do it? Like, what are you doing? Yeah, like you're doing right now. You're shaking your head.
I'm just shaking my head. I'm just along for the ride. You know what's funny is I keep thinking back to my mom and dad. So when my dad retired at 55, my mom wanted to travel and go all over. My dad was like, no, don't. I just want to be home and work. My dad was a woodworker. That was his hobby. He would stay in his garage. He wanted to be home for the rest of his retirement.
Right.
Lo and behold, my dad got on an over 55 slow pitch softball team, which turned out to be a travel ball team. My mom thought, that's great. So they traveled for 10 years. They traveled all over the world. And my dad played slow pitch softball all over the world, which I thought was amazing. They'd be gone for, I think the longest they were gone was like a month and a half, 6 weeks. They went down to Australia. My dad played everywhere in Australia, but my mom got to travel. So when you bring these things up, I'm like, okay, I really want to travel. So if I have to travel and he wants to do this, then I'm traveling. That's kind of how the RV thing is going to finally happen. It's going to be like, well, I want to travel. And if this is how we're going to have to do it.
You just have to wait for your dumb husband to get a reason.
Then I guess this is how I'm going to have to travel. So it's just one of those. So I keep thinking my mom, and I can hear her going, go with it, Mary. Just go with it. Go with it. You know, so.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that I'm not trying to upset you, and I'm certainly, when I play along with I'm going to go and you're going with me, I mean, I'm not dragging you along anywhere. I really think that I'm trying to do something that you have been, that you would like.
I know. I was envious of this. I followed this couple that did very similar. They packed up their house. I think they rented it out is what they did. They rented their house out for a year and took off in an RV for 300, they were going to be gone 365 days.
Yeah.
They made a commitment. They left actually on January 1st.
Right.
And took off, and they took detail. They did an Instagram, which I thought was amazing, and took pictures in their journey along the way. And they did it for 365 days. They told the people they'd be gone for a year. They took care of the house and everything. And I thought, oh my God, that was pretty amazing.
Did it work for them? Did they?
Yeah, they said it was the most amazing time on the planet was to do that for three. But that was a totally different. You're talking about selling and not having a home. They literally like rented out their house and took off. So
well,
it was like.
I mean, we could do that, but I don't think I'm really interested in renting this house out. I don't.
I'm just saying, it ended up to be a pretty amazing trip for them. They saw things that they'd never seen before, and they have documentation of it. So
I wonder how many people that are listening to this program, like that would be their thing is to travel. You know, you got like Loud One Ian and you got Mike Dawson, they're truck drivers. I can't imagine they want to be on the road anymore. It's like, right. No, I don't want to travel. It's all I do is I've been driving truck. I'm not interested in traveling. That's what we do for a living.
Yeah, but, and it's really funny when I tell you about my mom and dad, when they would go to a town or a country or whatever, my dad would play softball 2-3 times a day, have three, you know, it's a tournament.
Yeah.
He would really never sightsee. My mom and all the wives went out and did the sightseeing. So my dad, I mean, he did a little bit. Like they did it with groups, you know, and stuff.
Your mom got to travel.
She got to travel. So, I mean, she did, but my mom and dad would not have changed that their whole life. They did it and they loved it and they saw so much. I mean, so it was a whole different world. It was time for them.
I'm glad it reminds you of that because those are good memories and good feelings. So maybe that'll happen to you too. What are you crying for now?
Why are you crying now? That's closing.
We're just talking about your parents and you're crying.
I know.
I don't. What did I do now?
Nothing. It's just.
I don't understand women. I'm trying so hard. I just don't get it.
Empty nest syndrome.
All right. So. Well, let's change the topic to something that won't make you cry. I don't even know what's going to not make you cry today. I know one thing we're talking about. Do you realize Jacob's come on board as one of the brand managers, and he must call 13 times a day with ideas. And now, for the first time in 3 years, Gen X Talks is actually getting some people interested in, like, supporting us. Like, hey, you know, how about we give you some support in, like, an advertisement or a sponsorship thing? Like, there's even some interest in companies sponsoring the gold coin, which would be great. You know, if you get someone to sponsor the gold coin, then they pay for us to go out and do the whole gold. But it's all about them. We talk about them the whole time.
Right.
And I'll tell you why things are loosening up. The pendulum is swinging back the other way in this country, where, you know, the woke movement doesn't have nearly the power they did a year and a half ago. Me Too, Black Lives Matter.
It's kind of a fad.
It's all going back the other way. People are tired of it. Hollywood's like, okay, we're done losing money. We're going back to making films the way we want. And Disney is a strong holdout. They're holding out. But everybody else is going, okay, we don't give a shit anymore. We're moving on. This is bullshit. All of these things are swinging back the other way. Now, Gen X Talks as a company, we're not such a third rail. We're not such a hot topic. Oh, you guys are too conservative. We can't. You guys got too much common sense. We can't be associated with you guys. Now they're coming around. Now there's companies going, nah, fuck it. You know, we're just doing it. We don't care anymore. And the pendulum's swinging back the other way. The country's moving in that direction. So it's kind of funny that there's a grill master club that's been, you know, sending us some stuff. Now they're doing they're sending us something with for cleaning a grill. I'm like, and Jacob calls me today. I'm like, yeah, send that. He goes, well, you're so excited. I go, because it's hard to clean a grill.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. They got a product, man. I'm in. And then there was one. It's a toothpick company. You're going to love this. It's a toothpick company that there's nicotine in the toothpick, like nicotine gum that helps you stop smoking.
You gotta be kidding.
No, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. You're helping people out. And they're like, well, but do you think if you do a video or something, an endorsement, you'll get pulled, the video will get pulled because it's a nicotine advertisement? And I had to think about it. Kid was in here. I told the kid Briggs, I said, is that a deal? I mean, he goes, well, you don't see a lot of cigarettes on TikTok. You don't even see Nicorette gum on Facebook.
That's true.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Because what about vaping? You know, that's another thing. I've never really seen anybody vape on
I don't any... think they can, because Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, kids have access to it.
Right.
So I don't think you're allowed to... I don't think you're allowed to promote something that an underage person could have access to or think is cool. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
That's what the age restrictions were on things, like when you post a video and
stuff.
Well,
here's something that not a lot of people know, and I don't... This is for YouTube. YouTube gives you two choices when you post a video. Is this made for kids?
Right.
And if you click yes, you can have no advertising, no commercials, and there's very strict rules. If you say no, this is not made for kids, that doesn't mean that it's adults only. It just means it's not made for kids, but we realize kids are probably going to see it, but it's not made for kids.
Yeah, but the girls can be scantily clad. But if
you had a section of TikTok or of Facebook or of YouTube that was 18 and older or 21 and older,
yeah.
I'm sure you could put a nicotine commercial on there or a cigarette. You could. I just don't think when it just says not made specifically for kids, but we know kids are going to watch it. I think there's still restrictions on what you can put on there.
I
don't
sure
know.
There
I've
is.
Never been asked that before. But what's the worst thing that can happen is you put out a video and they pull it. Like, hey, you can't do that. All right. We have no strikes on our record anymore. I even got our warnings removed.
That's cool.
On YouTube. So I'm not saying we have a foul to give like in basketball, but we do. We can give up a foul because we're not in any trouble.
Well, I guess
them.
That's up to you guys, what you guys want to do with that.
Well, it's
know.
Just interesting. Like, you know, he's bringing over some. There's a gearless ratchet they're bringing over for me to look at.
Hmm.
You know how when you take a ratchet, you just click, 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 click,
yeah,
click, click.
Like you said, no. Like that one video you said or one live stream where you went, you want it to sound like this.
Yeah.
Now you can't say that anymore.
No, because there's no ratchet. There's no clicking. And then Bad Dog Tools is sending out some drill bits for us to look at. That's kind of cool. Excuse me.
That's
so
cool.
There's some people that have taken an interest in what we're doing. I'm kind of digging that.
That's good. That's really cool.
So I like
Alrighty.
That. Plus, you got your 7-week coffee, which you haven't tried.
No, I haven't.
It looks nice sitting
I
on your
really
coffee bar.
I really want my espresso machine that I want so bad.
Okay, tell everybody what you told me.
About what? What
you said, I want this espresso machine. And I said, you already have a coffee maker. And you said, no, I want this one because...
It grinds that
it's
one?
Not what you said.
Because it's a KitchenAid?
Not what you said. You see, you lie right now
because
you're embarrassed to tell the world what you
why?
Said.
I don't know. I can't remember. I said so the many. I pitched
no,
a lot.
No. The first.
Because Jennifer Garner has
there
it.
There you go. That's what you told me.
I was trying to remember. you go, I love her. I think she is so. Let me just pitch something. And Ben Affleck, he can go jump ship. I don't care. Ben Affleck and her were married.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Jennifer Garner is the most down to earth. I don't know her personally.
I love her too. I do.
But I think I would love to sit down and have coffee with her. Yes. I really would. I think we would get, as moms, I think we would get it because she lives out on a farm. I get it because she loves her parents so much. She was married to Ben Affleck, had kids with him, right?
She's wonderful. I agree.
He played around while they were married.
Yeah.
But he is now married to J-Lo. He left Jennifer Garner to go marry J-Lo. Why? I don't understand.
The sex. I don't know. I don't know.
Who cares? But he's a... anyways, I am pro Jennifer Garner. Anyways, she is a spokesperson for KitchenAid. That's the other thing. Oh. And I love KitchenAid projects.
Yes, you do.
Especially in the kitchen. And they have... KitchenAid products in the kitchen.
Where else would they have KitchenAid products?
A lot.
They sell pool equipment?
No, but they have all kinds of things.
Okay, well, it just sounded funny the way you said it.
I know, but they don't sell just kitchen products.
Especially in the kitchen.
They don't just sell kitchen products.
A lot of bathroom products do they have? They have grill cleaning equipment? I'm sorry, go ahead. It was funny the way you said it. It was hilarious. Go ahead. Jenna.
Are you done?
I'm taking you seriously now. Yeah.
Anyways.
It's my serious voice.
So... she, on a video, she showed her espresso maker. At the time, I had no idea it was KitchenAid.
Yeah.
But then I went searching down her thing, and I went, no shit, they have one. And I went looking, and it's really costly, but it's really well made. I mean, I read, like, the specifics, all the reviews on it, and it grinds your own coffee beans, and you can get an espresso, a cappuccino.
You see, that would have been a different story for me. When you were sitting in the living room, and you said...
I need it because Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, you
it.
Go, I want this espresso machine. And I go, why? And you said, because Jennifer Garner has it. That was it. That was where the conversation went. Not, well, you know, it grinds its own stuff. It's so reliable. It's probably the last one I'll ever buy.
Yeah.
It does lattes. It does hot chocolate. It does coffees. It does espressos. It does everything. You know, it heats the cream. You could have had an entire story. And all you said was, well, Jennifer Garner
has
one.
That's all you need to know.
Okay, I'm afraid I'm going to need to know a little bit more. Now, you're talking to the finance company here. You know, you can't just go, I want one because of whimsy. How much is it?
I'm not telling you. I am not telling you. I looked it up, and I was even digging to see, like, if I could get a deal here and there and everywhere. And you can. I mean, I can get a few $100 off, but it's up there.
A few $100 off?
It's expensive.
That's how much it should cost. It should cost a few $100.
It's not.
If you tell me it gets a few $100 off, it better be free at that point.
No, it's
everything
really
I have ever bought you from KitchenAid has been expensive. I have had to save up for everything. The most expensive one was that stovetop you wanted. That was that big, you know, the range. That was KitchenAid. That was huge, but... I will admit you were right. It's been durable, it's been reliable, and it's been easy to clean.
Yeah, and the we bought the dishwasher too 1 year.
Yep.
You bought me the dishwasher that has the metal lining on the inside.
That's
that thing is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you spend the money on stuff like that you use a lot.
Yeah, but it's just hard to get. I couldn't afford to get.
We saved up. We didn't buy them all at one time.
We
saved up for it.
That's why I love combining KitchenAid products with anniversaries and birthdays.
Well, it's coming up. I got an anniversary and a birthday coming. So, you know, anniversary's next week.
Here's what I don't like about right now.
Mother's Day, too.
This is the trifecta. This is what I don't like about right now.
Go.
I got anniversary, then I get hit with Mother's Day, then I get hit with your birthday. Boom, boom, boom.
Technically, I'm not your mom. Just like on Father's Day, you're not my dad. It should be the kids recognizing their mother.
Well, I know, but if I don't get you something, you give me those big puppy dog eyes like, I gave you 8 beautiful children. You didn't even get me a card? So...
Exactly.
I feel bad if I don't.
Give me a bouquet of flowers and go, thank you for giving me beautiful children, and I'll be fine with that. Really, seriously, I'd be okay with that.
I thought you were going to say, just get me a bouquet of flowers, hand it to me next to my new espresso machine, and we'll be fine.
But, you know, anniversary, you always say you want to buy, you bought a vacuum 1 year for anniversary. So what's the difference of an espresso machine?
Well...
it's a tool.
It is. Yeah, but the vacuum makes me feel better.
How many years? years did I go knowing you had a Snap-on tool balance for years, thousands of dollars worth?
Well, it, quite a long time. 20,
it was a tool.
20, well, it was a tool bill because that was how
How long have I been married to you?
We made our living. And so having a tool truck account with Snap-on and Mac
Coffee
and Matco.
Coffee is my sanity. Keeps my sanity.
Well, we do want that around here, don't we?
I'm just saying. I'm pitching. I'm trying. I'm trying.
All right. How long do you think we've been on?
Hour and 10 minutes.
Hour and 20.
Oh, okay.
So to recap on something, I am sorry that I made you cry. I thought with the RV thing, I thought that was a great answer.
I mean, I told you it's going to have to marinate with me a little bit. I'm sure it'll be fine, but the big picture is, oh my God, where are we putting everything?
Do you realize you're fucking up a three-part apology right now?
Okay, go.
All right, I'm going to try again. I am sorry that I brought up the RV thing. I really thought that that was a solution to a problem, plus it was something you wanted to do. I didn't mean to make you upset and cry. I'm obviously not just going to sell the house, buy the RV, and drag you off. And, you know, I don't do that with you. In fact, the truth be known, I talk a good story, but you'd have to admit to the world, most everything I do, the decisions I make are less about me and more about you making sure you're happy and what you want and things I've put together that you would like to do.
Right.
I mean, I talk like I'm crunk and I'm going to clock you over the head and drag you off by the hair. And the truth is I carry you everywhere. But if those things come to fruition in the order you want, I will work on making them happen. But yeah, there is a change of our lives around the corner, and it is time. It is time to make that change and settle into the next chapter of our life.
I know.
So
I get it.
All right. Well, I'm not sure. Let's see, where are we at? Today is Thursday. The podcast will drop midnight Friday. We have a Bottom of Glass show tonight. We have a Bottom of Glass show Saturday. And then Sunday, we leave for the Reno area.
Yes. And just you and I.
Just you and I leaving for the Reno area.
It's personal, not Gen X Talks related.
Reno is personal. But what are we doing along the way?
Oh, yeah, that is.
We're going to hide a coin.
Here or there.
Here or there. One up and one back. We're going to take two different roads. And so there'll be some historic stuff. So we're going to hit kind of the Northern California area and Nevada, two areas that have previously had no coins.
That's right.
And those will be fun to do. And then we're putting the next coin is the Southwest. We're heading from our position. We're heading east.
That's right.
So that'll be fun.
In a couple weeks.
Couple weeks. We're going to go do that. So, yeah. And then like I told you, we're dropping those coins with some staff members out across the country. We're going to work with them on where to put them. That'll be a lot of fun too. And that's about it. There's so much stuff. We talked about the sponsors that are coming our way, maybe, and those will work out good. We're talking about things we're doing. Plus, we have the Lakeside Barbecue and Car Show out here for us. 81 years they've been doing this barbecue. Wow. And car show. And so we're going to be part of it this year. It's on that's the website, cool. GenXTalks.com. That'll be a lot of fun. We're supposedly doing the ski show out in Arvin. They're doing the Water Ski Nationals. This is part of their rounds. I guess they keep points like they do NASCAR races all over the country, and the drivers get points for each racetrack they're on. I guess the water ski people get points for every lake that they're on. So we're going to be part of the water ski thing
and
out here in Arvin.
And then there's a possibility we might go to Vegas in August and kick our kid out of an airplane.
A C-130. Yeah, he got an invitation. It looks like it's going through with the Golden Knights, the Army.
We should know in a couple weeks.
We might be in Las Vegas for that. So we will, any of you, I know we have fans and followers and friends up in Reno. If we're going to have one night, we're going to be at the Sun Valley Fox House barbecuing. The next night, we'll let you guys know that where we're going to be in town. We'll pick
the hotel.
Our last
night there.
We'll pick a bar and lounge area. We'll go hang out for a few hours. If you guys want to stop by and say hello, that'd be great with us. And then, so we got stuff like that going on. And the calendar's filling up. We got stuff all the time. More interviews coming. You know, the interviews that I record but never play for anybody.
I know. It's not amazing.
That's a good stuff. I got a record collection that I don't listen to.
Exactly.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you had an hour and 24 minutes of your day to waste, we appreciate you wasting it here at Gen X Talks. And all of you listening on the radio station. I don't even know how many people are listening. Probably Probably in the dozens.
I have no idea. Thank you for listening to us again this week. We really love sitting down and just chit-chatting. You're just getting a piece look in our life. We're just two human beings maneuvering this.
But I made you cry three times. That was not my intent.
It's okay.
All right. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Oh, goodbye, everyone. See you next week.
All right. Her mic is off. You're stuck with me. Thank you guys for tuning in around the planet. Not sure where you're listening from. AM, FM, Sirius XM, or perhaps you tuned in on the Armed Service Radio Network. Remember two things: wherever you go, there you are, and I'll catch you guys on the flip side.